Blog Talk Radio.
Bless you, God bless you, God bless you. Welcome to another live broadcast of God's Word to Man. I am Brother Manny, and I just want to let you know that it is such a blessing to be here and to be in speaking on this broadcast to you, for you, as an encouragement, as an uplifting, uplifting you and reaching out to you to help educate, and it's such a blessing, and I hope you're blessed as well as we begin this broadcast. Today we have a great, great topic, and I know it's a question that I've gotten in the past as a born-again believer, and I know some of you have gotten it in the past as well. Is the Bible real? We're talking about the Bible, the Holy Bible, the Good Book. It has a lot of names, many names, I should say, you know. And so today we're going to discuss what proof do we have that the Bible is authentic. Oftentimes we ask people to, you know, study your word or read God's word. Or study your Bible. You have your Bible handy. And I feel that sometimes, you know, we overlook the fact that some people may not, you know, have experience studying the Bible. Maybe they don't know where to start, or what's the first thing that you do to study your Bible. And then I have some people who they've questioned me and say, how do you know? I mean, you grew up in the church, or your mom was in the church, you know, your family, everyone you know has grown up in the church and been in the church. So you've been sort of brainwashed. How do you know it's not the Quran? How do you know it's not the Torah? That's the authentic Holy Scripture, or the, I want to say, there are other books out there as well, you know, and everyone thinks that their book is the authority on things. And so today we're going to discuss how do we know that the Bible is real. And the brothers that are going to join me hopefully are going to lend some wisdom to the topic and help us to understand how we can rightly divide the word of truth. That's out of the Bible. But sometimes, like I said, you know, we quote scripture and sometimes, you know, we don't give a basis, I don't think, a great foundation. Most times we're talking to church people. And so tonight we're talking to everyone, and we're going to hopefully give a good account for God's word. And we're going to try not to use too much scripture out of the Bible. I think that is another point of, you know, discussion where, you know, can you prove the Bible is real without actually using the Bible as a source. So I'm going to bring on the brothers now. God bless you, Rev. Thank you for joining the broadcast. Are you there?
God bless you, Brother Manny. I appreciate being on the broadcast as always. Blessings on you and your family.
Amen. I receive that, brother. Thank you so much for joining us this evening. We also have Brother Daniel. God bless you, Brother Daniel. How are you?
Yes, thank you. I'm here. And like the brother said, I'm thankful to be able to be on the broadcast with you. Thank you, Brother Manny.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Brother Daniel. So we're going to get into it. We're going to give our opening statements. I guess I had my opening statement, or you might even call it a monologue. It was kind of lengthy, but, you know, it's just all these thoughts kind of flooding in my head about this topic. Like I said, it's something that I've been confronted with myself, and I even found it difficult to prove the authenticity of the Bible or the truth of the Bible or if it's real without actually quoting Bible scripture. So I'm going to go ahead and start with you, Ref.
Hey, man. So for me, Christianity in and of itself, not just the Bible, is something that's based out of faith. It's what we believe. And I can give you a couple of answers, and I will, that would say, you know, why I believe that the Bible is real. The one answer would be a non-biblical answer as far as scripture is concerned, and it would say that when you trace back the history of the Bible, it has been handed down or handed up, if you will, or handed forward by a lot of generations where there is this ability to look back and see that the scripture has been passed on, and it's kind of authenticated in that way. The truth of the matter is we've never seen God, and so we believe all of this purely by faith. But now when the Bible, and I have to include the Bible because the Bible is what helps authenticate itself. It would have been impossible for an author from the Bible to have predicted with such precise accuracy way back then events that would be happening in the future unless God was involved in that. And so, you know, that's one of the reasons we can look to the Bible and say, I mean, hey, this must be legitimate because there's not only this authentication through proven prophetic utterances, but there's this sense of continuity that exists from way back then when it was originally written in Hebrew and Aramaic, which was the Old Testament, and then Greek, which was the New Testament. And there's this continuity that lasts from back then to when King James gave the authorization for it to be changed into the King's English up until now. And so I think if a person really wants to know the truth, it is going to require for them to do some studying. And again, that studying can be done outside of the Bible, but, you know, there's definitely scripture in the Bible that has a lot to do with prophecy that gives us the indication that God must have been involved in this. And these events happening exactly like it was prophesied to happen, it authenticates the truth of this Bible.
Amen. Amen. I agree with you wholeheartedly, Rev, and hopefully we can go through some of those events to point to these events and say, hey, the Bible said this back then, and this is happening at this point. I think that is a good way to start off. Amen. Brother Daniel, would you like an opening comment about this topic?
Okay. Well, they are dedicated people that have done a lot of research into the Holy Land area mainly, and have discovered things that the Bible mentioned that were buried way under a lot of silt and build up over the years, the centuries, because they call them tell. It's a mound where there used to be a city, and it would be destroyed by whoever, and then they would rebuild it, and it'd get destroyed again down through the centuries, and so eventually just end up to be a big mound of rubble and dirt and rocks and whatever. And then the people would keep sifting through it with a screen and whatever, and little trowels and like paint brushes, and try to find something, and they would find the very things that the Bible named that were there, exactly where and exactly what. Like Pilate conducted the trial of Jesus, and they found buried his name right there, existed, and that he was an actual person. And that's one aspect. And another is there are other historians that were contemporary with Bible times, like Josephus, a very famous first century historian, wrote a long book about Jesus and about Bible times. And even though he's not in the Bible, not a part of the Bible, but he was just a historian that lived back in those days of the first century. And there are histories that are in existence, just like, how do we know Rome existed? Well, there's people that lived in the days of Rome and wrote books and talked.
Amen. I think we lost Brother Daniel. We'll wait for the brother to call back. I think he needs to charge his phone a little bit. So, Rev, as he was talking about the historical standpoint, I mean, where would you point people to say, you know what, I get it? Because I do, Rev. I mean, I really do. I try to take myself out of, you know, the person who was raised in the church and say, you know, what if I knew nothing at all? What if I didn't know anything about the Bible? Of course, you know, you hear people talk about Jesus, and you hear people talk about God, even the athletes and then the entertainers now, they say, I want to thank God. And some of them even now are saying, I want to thank my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So people have heard to some degree, I think, most people. But if we really wanted to go and do our own study and research and really break down the origins of some of this stuff, you know, because you got some of the, you know, the people, the Jewish people, they have a Bible called the Torah. And then, as I said, you have the Quran. And then you have the Holy Bible. And then, I'm not mistaken, there's a book called the Kabbalah. Maybe that's not an actual book. I didn't look that up, but I've often heard that referred to. And then there are some other literatures that are, you know, associated with other religions. So how can, where do we first start, Rev? Where do we go?
I would say that our first step must be to have an open and an honest mind. And the reason I say that is this. If a person wants to believe whatever it is they're choosing to believe, they're going to always be in a mode of listening to discount what might be right there in their face as evidence to go against what they're thinking. So if I don't believe the Bible existed in the first place, or if I don't believe that the Bible is real, then I'm not going to be researching with an open mind and an open heart. And so the first step is to have an open mind and open heart to say, okay, I want to know the truth of this thing. Then the second step is, once you have an open heart and open mind and an open heart, you then can ask God, God, listen, I'm not associating you with any particular book or Bible or whatever right now. I'm asking you as God to allow me to come into the knowledge of who you are. And then at that point, you can then go to not only the Bible. I like the fact that Brother Danny mentioned Josephus is a historian from the Bible days. When you look at some of the historical accounts that Josephus has written in his book, that they line up with some of the things that happened in the Bible. They line up with what happened in the Bible. And so there are books out here that lend credit to what the Bible is saying, but if I don't have an open mind and an open heart, and I haven't asked God to show me, then I won't see it. So for instance, if you're a babe in Christ, or if you just joined a church, you know nothing about the Bible. I believe every church needs to have a process by which they disciple the people that come in. They first do an assessment to find out where they are, and then they disciple them at the level of where they are to get them to a place of from being babes in Christ to being mature Christians. But in order for that to happen, it just can't happen at church. And so we must teach people there must be a relationship that you have outside of church that includes not just prayer and fasting, but includes studying the Bible. Now, if this is my belief, if a person wants to know the truth of the Bible and they ask God to allow the Holy Spirit to teach them, I am in full belief that God will teach him his word. Now, if I am in a position where I'm not choosing, I have doubt to begin with, then the minute that something comes up that I'm not sure about, it's only going to support my doubt. But if I have an open mind and say, okay, I may not understand this today, but I'm sure by tomorrow or by the next day, God's going to give me an understanding of it. And so now that I'm looking at these various books, I have a Bible here. I have a Bible commentary. I have a book from a historian. I have Bible dictionaries. I have books that change the Old Testament from the King's English back into the Hebrew so I can understand the full meaning. I have books that change the New Testament back into the Greek so I can have the full meaning of what it's actually saying. And now I begin to learn what this Bible is actually talking about. And then when I look at history and the present day, I can begin to see there's some truth. There must be some authenticity to this because, again, like I said earlier, it would have been impossible for Daniel to talk about the European Union being dissolved and then coming back together partially and then eventually two of the pieces of the United Union falling away. It would be impossible for Daniel to have known that way back in the day, and then it's going on right now. The European Union would have been dissolved, but Daniel had prophesied that would happen. He then prophesied that it would come back together, and that has happened. And so Daniel could not have known that way back then. It would have been impossible for him to know that outside of God giving him insight. And so when you look at, and you mentioned some of the other books, when you look at the Quran, a lot of the Quran has a lot of what is listed in the Old Testament, or let me say it this way, at least the last time I kind of did a study. A lot of the Old Testament can be found in the Quran. And as far as the Torah, amen, a lot of that has to do with Moses and the law books and things of that nature. And again, I would compel somebody to line it up with Scripture to find out, to see if it matches exactly with the Bible. Because when it's all said and done, if I'm part of any organization, I'm going to make sure that it lines up with what we believe in. But now when it comes to God, there got to be some continuity with it. I mean, you can look at the Bible and see things that's talked about in the Old Testament that's fulfilled in the New Testament. That's called continuity. You can look at some things that I've said in the Old Testament that's been happening in the New Testament. That's called consistency. So a lot of times when you look at these other books, they lack consistency. They lack authenticity. They lack continuity, and that's how come they can be discounted. But nobody will do that. If their mind is in a place where they want to believe what they want to believe, that's exactly what they're going to do. So, again, my brother, I would say the first step is you got to approach this thing with an open heart and an open mind. You got to ask God to give you an understanding. And then you got to be prepared to do some serious studying and not just skimming and reading. And you got to be able to, you got to have, you know, I always say, man, if you don't have two or three books in front of you when you're studying, then you're not doing any real studying.
Amen. Amen. I understand what you're saying, Rev, because, you know, I find myself having so many different books open. Well, now, you know, with all the electronic devices, you know, you can have so much open and so many tabs open and going back and forth, you know. Now I can't even imagine how I used to only look at one computer screen, but, you know, being at work and having multiple screens on at one time, you know, and so many different tabs open, I can't go back to the way I used to look at a device, a smart device or a computer or whatever.
Yeah.
So, you know, you have to be, it has to be that way because you're going to be looking for different things in different places, you know, and that's kind of why I wanted to do this broadcast, because you have a lot of people looking for truth. And today's time and today's age, more and more you have a lot of young people looking for what's truth. And so when they see a guy like Kanye West, or when they see Common, or when they see Chance the Rapper, or when they see T.D. Jakes, or if they hear Oprah saying that there are many ways to God, or if they hear someone say it's about meditation and chanting and you'll clear your mind. I meditate, somebody said to me the other day, you know, about how to, you know, decrease their stress levels, or, you know, I meditate a lot. It was such a great experience. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, the people, they, because they're not taught, as the Bible says, and you don't know any better, that's why we suffer, you know, and we go through things that we ought not have to go through because we're just ignorant. We just don't know. And so someone just sitting down and saying, you know what, I want to discover truth, but where do I start? They may not start with the Bible. They may start with the Jewish book, the Talmud, or I think one is called a Tanakh, or the Quran. You see a lot of the Muslim brothers and sisters out here, you know, they quick to go to that Quran, and even Farrakhan now, you hear him quoting different scripture and talking about Jesus as if they believe, you know, they believe in Jesus as Christians believe in Jesus. But anybody can see through that, that has good discernment. I digress. But I say all that to say, where would a person start first if they're looking for truth? And this is why I wanted to come up with the topic, is the Bible real, or how can we prove its authenticity? We got Brother Daniel back. Brother Daniel, are you there?
Yes, sir. Forgive me. I think my batteries went dead, and I don't know what I got said while they were still alive. But forgive me. My phone batteries played out on me.
That's okay. That's okay, brother. That's okay. Go ahead, though. Continue
okay.
on.
Well, without the Bible as a historical figure, did he exist? Yes. If people got a calendar in the Western world, they can look up on their calendar, where did that come from? Well, it came from the birth of Christ. So anybody that believes in the calendar has to believe that Christ was born. Now, if they don't believe the calendar, well, okay. I mean, you know, if you don't want truth, you can take the old saying goes, you can take a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. If they're not looking for truth, they don't want truth, they're not going to find truth. But if you want it, then and you're honest of heart and humble of spirit enough to check it out. Just check it out. And start with history. Start with the geologists. Start with facts. Just start with the facts of history. Did he exist? Yes. For instance, Josephus, he was a historian of the first century, wrote a large book about the history of Christians and Christ and the people that knew him. And yet he was a historian. He's not in the Bible. It doesn't, you know, no connection to the Bible. But he was a first century historian. And there are several people that wrote about Christ that weren't Christians, and yet they reported there's this man that claims to be the Son of God, and he does miracles, and they wrote books about it. And they can, if they want to find truth, they can read these things and then decide for themselves. Well, he sounded like he was a good man. Some of them, like the Muslim people, they accept him as a prophet, and other religions accept Christ as a prophet, not as the Son of God, virgin born, but they accept him as a fact of history. And if they'll read just history, that'll give them a starting point. If they're honest enough to and want truth enough to check things out and see if he existed and see about his claims, and then how did Christianity come into existence? It exists. There are hundreds of millions of people that believe in Christ. Where did they come from? And they were willing to lay down their life for their beliefs and be persecuted and be killed by the millions, not hundreds of thousands, but millions. Well, why would they do that if it's just a myth? You see, there's a lot of things in the natural that point to the fact that Christ existed, and that he was either a delusional and deceived and practically insane when he would say, I am the Son of God. Not a Son of God. I am the Son of God. He made statements like that. And he claimed all these amazing claims that no man can come unto the Father except by me. Well, that tears people all to pieces. That tears all the religions of the world all up. That one verse that is reported that he said. Now, that's, of course, in the Bible, but still it goes all back to the fact of history. If you believe that there's such a thing as history, then you have to be honest enough to check it out and see for yourself.
Amen.
And decide for yourself if there is such a thing as the Bible being true.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for that, Brother Daniel. I want to ask the question and pose the question here, because I can already hear people who are listening saying this. Well, the Bible, the New Testament, how old is the New Testament? It's not older than our text, so how could it be true? Well, some may also say, well, we believe that the Bible may have some truth, but we believe that our scripture, our holy book, it's also truth, and it's what we follow. And it's been around for thousands of years. You have some texts that are as old as 4,000 to 6,000 BCE. Now, how do you explain that? And to that you say, Rev.
So, again, I want to say it really all still points back to what a person wants to believe. That's why, and I'm glad Brother Danny echoed what I said as well, as you got to want to know the truth. And so your mind and your heart has to be open to the truth, because if you've already predetermined that this is not believable, then no matter what I show you, you're not going to believe it. I find this very interesting, that a person would presuppose that we should prove the Bible without using the Bible. Well, you can't get to know your car if you don't read your car's manual. You don't read a different book to learn your car. You don't read the directions or instructions to your laptop from another book. You don't read a PC, the instructions from a PC manual for a MacBook. So why then do I have to prove the Bible exists by not using the Bible? That's ridiculous on its face, because that tells me, if you're asking me to do that, that tells me you're looking for a reason not to prove it, not to believe it in the first place. But I will still also agree with Brother Daniel. There are plenty of other ways to go about researching and finding out. Like, listen, if you really want to know the truth, let's say these three steps. Let's look at history. Let's track back to from Jerusalem. So let's go back to the to some sites that were listed in the Bible days. Let's go look at some of those sites, because some of them still existed, and even some of the things that they have found, some artifacts that they found, point to the fact of certain things existing, you know, so long ago. Now, then you say, well, somebody's got a book, and we say, well, this book predates your book. Well, that's fine and dandy and all, but what do we really want to believe? Because it's only going to be one thing. And when it's all said and done, and I've studied a couple of other religions just for informational reasons, and I would rather believe in Christianity and be wrong than to believe in all these other religions and be wrong. Because at the very least, if I'm wrong about Christianity, nothing happened. But if I'm wrong about Christianity, then I'm going to go to hell. So to me, having looked at the Jehovah's Witnesses, having looked at the Muslims, having studied some of those religions, having studied the Judaism and understanding that the Orthodox Jews do not believe Jesus was the Lord and Savior. But when you look back at what history has afforded us, the Messianic Jews have come out from among the Orthodox Jews and say, you know what, we do believe Jesus is the authentic Savior. So when you have these kinds of events, they begin to authenticate what the Bible has said. I don't find a lot of authentication or logic that's attached to some of the other books, no matter how old they were written. The Muslims will tell you that Islam predates Christianity in Africa. Well, that's if you do your research, you will find out there was Christianity in Ethiopia way before there was Islam. Way before there was the Muslim belief. There was Christianity that existed in Ethiopia. And so we must do our homework with an open mind and an open heart, but more importantly, with a solid faith, because when it's all said and done, the Bible says, and I know we say we don't want to use the Bible, but it says that one day every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that Jesus is Lord. And so when you look at some of the religions, how they don't support unity, they don't support love. When you look at a good portion of Islam, how there's a hatred for certain people. When you look at Judaism, where there's such a level of pride for individuals, those are not godly traits. Those are not Christ-like traits. So why would I believe in something that doesn't even teach me how to behave like the Lord like I know my Lord and Savior really is. He's a loving God. Does that mean he does not punish? He does punish. But the part of the reason he punishes is because he loves us. But his love leads what our character should look like. And when you start looking at some of these other religions, it just does not line up that way. And so it doesn't matter to me when they were written, because to me, the establishment of when it was written does not authenticate the writing in and of itself. I'll end this by saying it like this. Just because you started telling a lie in the garden doesn't make the lie true in 2020.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for that, Rev. I'm going to go to the phone lines. Remember, you can call in and chime in on this topic, 323-870-3403. Again, that number is 323-870-3403. You can call in with your questions, your comments, and even your prayer requests. God bless you, caller. You're on the line. God's word to man. Who am I speaking with?
My name is Equanive. How's everybody?
Hey, how's it going?
Feeling pretty good, brother. How are you today?
I'm doing
good.
Just fine, sir. I'm doing just fine.
Excellent.
I was the one that, you know, now I'm in the comedic priesthood, you know, the African priesthood, African tradition. But I can say when I, you know, was in the church, it was one scripture that actually led me to be on the mission that I am now. And that is basically a one to, you know, connect the dots. Because a lot of times, you know, even with me being Christian, there was a pride there where I felt like I was the one that was closer or the closest to God. You understand? Because we had known Jesus, or Jesus had been a name that we utilize inside Christianity. So I can remember as a Christian, you know, looking down on other religions. You understand? I'm pretty sure you guys can, you know, are not saying you, but other people probably feel the same, you know, feeling like everybody else is doomed. They're going to hell, right? Why? Because they didn't believe in Jesus. And the reality is once I stepped outside of those walls of the church, and I can recall, you know, many of times those people that were professed and proclaimed to know Jesus and depend on Jesus and, you know, lift up his holy name, were a lot of times the same people that were talking junk about each other in the church, you know, backbiting. You know, I found this a whole heck of a lot. And just to go to other forms of religion, or you see other people outside of the church that are able to actually conduct themselves in the manner in which the Bible describes Jesus in. So it's not just enough just saying the sinner's prayer or just saying, well, hey, I know Jesus. It's not, that's not it. You know, it's the thing to actually go in and embody what is going on inside the words that are describing that figure. But the more that I looked outside of the church, and that was a scripture, and forgive me if I'm wrong, I think it might have been in John, but it said Jesus is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And there's a lot of untruthful spirit that I got from going to the church, because I would see, you know, in Revelation it has the Son of Man as being the skin of burnt bronze, and, you know, head of wool and eyes like fire, right? We remember that description, right? But when I went to church and I would see Jesus at the back, you know, with the baptism scene, it would be something far from that. It would be a European figure with long straight hair, and his skin looked like, you know, pale skin. So it wasn't one that I could look at and identify with the Creator putting that blessing upon me. And the more that I went back and did some studying and researching, I realized that, you know, Constantine, the first Christian emperor, and I think it's very important because when I was in the church, I just went by the Bible. I think it's very important for those folks to go into the Bible, go in the Bible, because you don't want to be a window shopper. as something that is, that your soul is dependent upon. And I think it's very important, even when you look at the Old Testament, knowing what the Talmud and the Torah is about is something very important. And, you know, like I said, I think with us knowing all of this, because not only, even if we didn't have English to actually say what Christianity was, I think it's still a place and still time to do what the right thing is. And us, this being Black History Month, because I know up in the church, you know, we celebrated Black History Month like crazy, and everybody do that for 1 month, but after then we will forget. You know, it'd be like, but what we are celebrating is what the Creator bestowed upon us. You understand? Not saying that we are cursed people, not saying that we are wicked people, but the Creator bestowed energy upon us to be able to sustain civilization in Africa for thousands and thousands of years. And I looked at the virtues, the 42 oaks or the 42 laws or commandments of Ma'at, the admonitions. And, you know, that is where we see, we see that even in the Bible says that Moses was learned in all of the ways of Egypt. And he actually came back down to have civilization after he went, you know, learned the ways of Egypt. So I'm just saying, in my conversation and getting in, I think it's very important for people to actually look and know what the Council of Nicaea is, know some of the cardinal bishops that, that were in control when the Bible was created, you understand, knowing who Constantine was, knowing more about
I hate to cut you off, brother, but we do have to get the other callers and we got to get through the rest of this broadcast. But I'd like to say thank you for calling in, and you do have some valid points. We do need to study. We do need to research, and that's why I brought up this topic. So I want to thank you. I appreciate you, and God bless you for calling in. So that brother had a few good points there. There's some other stuff, like I said, when you really think about it, Brother Daniel and Rev, There's some things that he's saying. You see, he used to be in the church. This is a great example of that brother. He used to be in the church, and now he's participating in another type of religion or whatever, you know. I don't know how to describe it, some of the things that he was talking about. But if you want to just kind of speak to some of the things he was saying, Rev, briefly, and then I'm going to go to Brother Daniel. Go ahead, Rev. Can you speak to some of the things he was talking about? Because, you know, he had a lot of information, but I couldn't pick up what he was talking about.
Absolutely. Not, I mean, I know what he's saying, and there are a lot of other things that are out here that may speak to someone's appetite. And so I want to clear up the thing about Christianity, right? We always want to blame God for other people's behavior. We want to say Christianity can't be true or can't be the true religion because we have so many hypocrites that's participating in it. Well, we need to understand the truth of the Bible tells us that they're going to be people that's going to come before God. And God is going to say to those people, depart from me. You were a worker of iniquity. I never knew you. So just because you say you know God, just because you say you saved, just because you say you're a Christian does not make you a Christian. And there are a lot of people in the church who's giving Christianity a bad name, who's giving God a black eye because of how they behave. When you look at the Bible, it gives you the instructions and directions on how to live a Christ-filled life. It gives you, listen, nothing we can do can save us, so let's establish that right now. There's no work we can do to save us. Believing in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, confessing that we are sinners and we are in need of a Savior, and believing Jesus rose again from the dead is how we get saved. Now, once we are saved, then Paul talks about becoming a new creation. So we start living according to the tenets of the Bible. And that's what proves we're saved. The word Christian means to be Christ-like. So just because I say I'm a Christian, it in no way makes me a Christian. And we need to stop blaming God and Jesus for people's bad representation or just because they said they were Christians. and their lifestyle either does not match up to what they're saying, or they just flat out were not Christians in the first place. And so, you know, if a person, I do agree with him on one thing. If you want to join anything, if you want to be a part of anything, you need to do your own self-studying. Don't ever let another person, I don't care if it's a pastor, imam, or whoever, you study that thing for yourself. Don't just let people tell you anything, because that's how people are led astray by someone else's interpretation. I said it before, if you really want to know the truth, you ask God, and God will reveal it to you, but you got to have an open mind to know it.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for that clarity, Rev. Brother Daniel, what about this thing where people are saying the Bible can't be true? I mean, the whole Bible isn't even there. You got parts of the Bible that they actually took out. There's a book called the Book of Enoch that's not there, and some other books that are not there. So how can you explain the Bible being true if there are missing books? Why did they take those books out of there? Do those books show or read something that they don't want us to know about Jesus or about the disciples or Mary or about this whole Christianity thing? Why did they take the books out? And to that you say, Brother Daniel, what would you say to that?
Oh, that's a good question. Truth is all that matters. Truth's the bottom line. And the Lord Jesus Christ, he made some astounding claims. And one of them was truth. He said, I am the truth, the way and the life. And that's in St. John 14:6. Well, what did he mean, I am the truth? Well, he meant he was the walking, talking personification in a person.
Mm.
Thought,
amen,
word, and deed. Of pure, unmitigated, unadulterated, undiluted truth. And if we want that truth, then because God does exist and the creation of the world is here and atheists have no answer, evolution can be destroyed with just three questions. One of them is, I asked a geology professor one time up in Colorado. I was camping out, and he was too with his whole class. He brought them from a state down south somewhere, Georgia, Alabama, always mix up. And they were up there studying geology. And so he came over to where I was singing a gospel song there in a campsite and started to clean my plow because I was singing a gospel song, and it was 9 o'clock at night, and he was saying that I was disturbing him. And I said, okay, I'll hush. But I got a question for you, sir. Do you believe, where did this all come from? He said, what do you mean? I said, what we're standing on, the universe, everything. How did it get here? I said, you probably believe in the Big Bang Theory. A lot of educated people do. Maybe the most of them believe in it. And I said, is that correct? He said, yes, that's what he believed. I said, well, where did it start? Where did it, how did it get here? Well, that's a religious question. I got to go now. And he was gone. Well, the Bible says twice the fool or the foolish person has said in his heart there is no God. Well, the Big Bang Theory says it all started about the size of a pinhead. And this is their actual words. You can read their actual words. They say nothing created something, and then that something about the size of a pinhead exploded into the universe. Now, there's a really intelligent statement to be kind of facetious and a little bit to just kind of cast a shadow on them. It, just fact that we're here, you got to have an answer. Where? What about all these other religions, like you were bringing out, and the brother? And so, well, they don't have an answer. They do not have an answer. There's only one book that has the answers, and that is the Bible. Now, you can believe it or not believe it. We have free will, and that's part of what the reason we're here. But it's up to us to search it out. It's up to us to decide if it's truth or not truth. And if you can disprove it, and I'll close my thought here on this, that there has been different ones that were honest enough, reporters like people, educated people, decided, well, there's millions of people believe it and are deceived, so I'm going to prove the Bible's false. And they go investigating, and they turn out to believe it because truth is its own defense. Truth will stand scrutiny. Truth will stand anybody wanting to try and disprove it. And it'll still be standing when they're gone. They've tried to burn the Bible, ban the Bible, and destroy it in many countries down through the centuries, but it's still here, but they're gone. Their civilization is gone, but the Bible's still here. And it is able to stand on its own two legs.
Amen. Amen. Rev, do you want to give some insight into that, the books that are missing from the Bible? And then just as a follow-up question, they talk about Genesis 1:1 and 1:2. There's a real big controversy over that, where it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was without form and void. That's verse 2. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and then in verse 2, the earth was without form and void. And then the next verse it says, and then God said, let there be light. And so that's when God started creating. They talk about the seven-day creation. You have some believe in these literal, actual seven-day creation in the Bible. And then you have some that says, well, no, the earth is older than, 4,000 or 5,000 years, 10,000 years, 100,000 years. But the Bible doesn't date back that far. So they said, how can it be true when you're saying that the world is only as old as 3,000 or 4,000 or 5,000 years old? We have manuscripts older than that in our religion. So how can the Bible be true? Even your own Bible says that in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, and then it became void, without form, and then God said, let there be light. So what happened in between verse 1 and verse 2? That's what some, they refute the Bible and most of its account by saying, well, how can you say the Bible is true when there are manuscripts that predate the Bible? The earth is older than 4,000 or 5,000 years, yet the Bible isn't. Can you talk about that? Can you kind of shed some light on that, Rev?
Yeah. So since Brother Daniel was kind of tongue in cheek with part of what he says, I want to be a little tongue in cheek too. I would like to meet the people who can prove that their manuscripts are older than the Bible. I want to meet the people who are millions of years old, who can prove that the world is millions of years, billions of years old. Can you introduce me to any of those individuals? You know, the truth of the matter is, a lot of what scientists have done is how they authenticate things is through what they call carbon dating. It is a technique that they use in certain manners, such as how long it takes water to erode rock and things of that nature. And so if you go into the hilarity that is science, and its attempt is to bring logic to something that is not logical. Just because it may take water a certain length of time to erode rock does not mean the Grand Canyon took millions of years to make, because God could have scooped out the Grand Canyon in less than a microsecond with his hand. And so we're trying to bring logic to something that's illogical, and we're trying to disprove that God existed so that we don't have to be held accountable for who we are. That's part of what the reasoning is, because we want to be able to be who we want to be. Now notice this. We are all up in arms about wanting to be and do what we want to do until tragedy hits the nation. And now let's everybody pray. Let's everybody come together and we all believe in God then. And that's the hilarity of it. It doesn't matter if you're Christian or Muslim or Jewish, but we have great tragedy among the earth, so let's come together. So that's laughable on its face, right? The other thing is, when we look at Genesis, it does say, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. The one thing nobody can prove is what was in the beginning for God. But what was that? The average individual, if you ask them what's the oldest book in the Old Testament, they will tell you it's Genesis. But the truth of the matter is, the oldest book in the Old Testament is Job.
Amen.
And so when it's all said and done, we must start studying, but we got to study with the understanding of, am I going to believe what I'm studying? Because there's going to be some stuff that I'm going to study and read that's going to require my faith and not my intellect. It's going to require my faith and not my intellect. Because if I try to put my intellect on it, my intellect will fall short, because there's just some things in the Bible there's no understanding God. I'm going to be honest, and maybe Brother Danny can speak to this. I can't tell you why some books may have been omitted and why other books were. I can tell you that the Bible says that if everything Jesus did was written while Jesus was on earth, the Bible would be a humongous book, not even able for us to necessarily walk around with. So when it's all said and done, if a person is looking not to believe, they'll find something that'll substantiate their position for not believing. But when it's all said and done.
Amen. Yeah, Jesus, the book of Enoch is quoted from in the Bible. Over in Jude, I think it is, quoted a couple of verses out of the book of Enoch. It's been rediscovered, and it's good. And he was the seventh from Adam and wrote about this Christ and about the second coming. And I've had a copy of it, and it's okay. It's a good book. But about the 10th century, they decided of what they would put together into the so-called canon of the Bible and make those books acceptable. There's 15 books, depending on how you count them, that are in the Catholic Bible that are not in the Protestant Bible. And they're just history. They're not bad, but they're not spiritual. So they left them out in the Protestant Bible. Now, the lost books of the Bible, they are spurious. They're not good. But the Apocrypha is called, of the 15 books, if they divide them up that way, count them as 15, are in the Catholic Bible, but they're just history. There's nothing. It's about the wars and the fightings and the Maccabees and all for the 400 years of the silent years, they're called, that are not in the Bible. And it's not good or bad. It's just history. But the ones that they did include are spiritual, and that's why they're there, because so-called word they use is canon, and it is the spiritual books that have been collated down through the centuries that are good. Like I said, the oldest book is the book of Job, and then Moses was the Bible in the New Testament says that what he wrote was dictated by angels, and he received the first five books of the Bible by being dictated to by angels, and so he wrote it down, and we have those the book of Genesis and all that that he wrote under divine inspiration and dictated by an angel. And so it is a special book. It is not just any old book. Prophecy is one of the proofs of the Bible. And there are 33 prophecies in the Old Testament that Christ fulfilled to the letter, that of his life and death, mostly his death, and the things that he would suffer, and they would pierce his hands and feet. That's in the Old Testament. That they would gamble for his clothes. That's in the Old Testament. And all the things that they would do to him, and it all was fulfilled to the exact letter. Well, God's the only one who knows the future. Devil doesn't know it. He can make some educated guess. People don't know it. Only God. And the fact of the fulfillment of prophecies is a great proof of the Bible.
Amen. Yeah. Amen. Well, since we only have a few minutes left here, I want to give each of you the opportunity, if you had an individual who honestly wanted to seek truth, and they had all these books and manuscripts and all this scripture in front of them, I want each of you to make your best case for the Bible, for the person picking up the Bible and starting to read the Bible and study the Bible, because it is the true word of the living God. If you had to make a case, a person was sitting there, what would you say? I'm going to start with you, Brother Daniel.
With me?
Yes, sir.
Oh, okay. Well, that's a really good question. Wow. I guess I would say, do you feel any spiritual need? Have you ever thought about spiritual things? Do you believe that it's a possibility? We don't know when or where, but it's beyond belief, really, that we're going to die. Then what's going to happen? Are you going to just die like an animal that has no soul, although there's animals in heaven, the Bible talks about, but what do you think about Christ? It boils down to that. Was he a liar? Was he deceived? Was he just hallucinating? How could somebody that's hallucinating or lying be the Son of God? He's either told the truth or he didn't. And if we take him at his word and just read it, read the scripture, and see if one man came with that question to a preacher after he preached a sermon, and he went into the inquiry room and he said, "I'm miserable. I'm just terrible miserable. Can you help me, preacher?" And he said, "What's the matter?" He said, "Well, I don't believe nothing. I don't believe the Bible. I don't believe there's a God. And I don't believe anything you said, but I'm miserable. Can you help me?" He said, "Okay, I got a solution. I'll give you a prescription. You go and every day you read something in the Bible and for 30 days and then mm-hmm. ask God, if there is a God, to show you the truth of it. And whatever he shows you, whatever you think, you come back in 30 days and tell me what happened." Well, the man said, "Okay, I'm miserable, I'll try it." And he did. And, of course, he came back believing. And he said, "Wow." He said, I couldn't get away from it. That scripture just kept hitting me right between the eyes. And it was convincing to him, and he accepted Christ as a Savior.
Wow. That's a great story. I appreciate that, Brother Daniel.
Amen.
I appreciate that. God bless you.
Amen.
Rev, same question for you.
Yeah. Yeah, I would just simply say to them, believe, you must have faith in what you're about to study and learn about. And I would say to them, as you're studying this Bible, ask God to give you an understanding of it, and he will do exactly that. And then I would encourage them to make their walk, this journey, a personal one, and not to look to other people, be it a pastor or a deacon or a fellow Christian, because we look way too much at other people. And this is what I meant by what the caller was kind of saying earlier. We look way too much at other people, and then we blame God as if it's God's fault that they're that way, or if it's Christianity's fault that they're that way. No, they are a bad representation of a good Christianity.
Amen.
And it's not about looking down on anybody. It really is not. God didn't tell us to look down on people. And so I would never say that I'm looking down on anybody. But yes, I would never shy away from owning Christianity as my belief and my understanding. I would never allow the fact that somebody else portrayed Jesus a particular way. Of course, back in the day, they painted Jesus as this white man and with these blonde eyes. But none of that is important when we understand. If you study the scripture, it tells you who Jesus was. It describes his nationality. It tells you his lineage. And so that's why I don't. You have to not. I would encourage them not to get caught up into
Amen.
Semantics and to things that are designed to distract them from knowing and holding on to the truth. And that's where that personal, you got to make it ever so personal. I would say to them, you're going to stand before God by yourself. And God is not going to accept any excuse about what somebody else did, about what somebody else taught, about what somebody else said. He'll deal with those people if they led somebody astray. But
Good
God
point.
Is going to ask you, what did you believe? Where was your faith? Did you seek me? Did you ask me, was this the truth of my scripture? And I've been in church all my life and ministry. Next year will be 30 years I've been in ministry. I have never run into a situation where I asked God with a sincere heart to give me an explanation of his word, and the Holy Spirit did not show up to give me an explanation.
Amen.
And so
it's God.
And so if our minds are open to know and our heart is open to know, God is not going to hide it from us. And that's what I would tell them. Make your journey a personal journey. Don't be distracted by people who say they're part of the journey. Just stay focused on God. Because God will never leave us wrong.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for that, Rev. Thank you, Brother Daniel. Listen, I just want to say it's been a blessing, a true blessing, to have this conversation. And, you know, the conversation isn't going to stop here. I think this is something that's so broad and so far-reaching that we need to discuss this more. And so I'm going to continue this next Monday as we invite people, more people to call in, because I know that
Amen.
We have some people out there who have questions. You know, they're confused. They really have an honest desire to know truth. And
Amen.
There's
Amen.
So much information out there. There's so much content on social
Amen.
Media and on the internet. You don't know. Sometimes you just don't know where to start. Sometimes you just don't know
Amen.
What to believe. And so
yes.
As we close, Rev, can you just say a prayer for the people who are earnestly and honestly with their whole heart seeking truth? Can you say a prayer for them and give them a prayer of encouragement as we close out this broadcast?
Yes, sir. Eternal Heavenly Father, we just humbly come before your throne of grace, God. And God, we thank you for the blessed privilege that it is to even be able to teach and talk about your word, God. And so, Father God, for every person that's desiring to know you, God, first and foremost, I thank you that you gave them that desire, God. You gave them that hunger. And, God, you would not give them a hunger for you
and then turn around and not feel it. And so, God, I pray in the name of Jesus that for every person that's under the sound of my voice, God, that will hear this whenever they'll hear it, God, that they will begin to go to you, God, with a pure heart, with a humble heart, God, and just ask you, Heavenly Father, to please give them a clear understanding of your word and your will for their lives, Father God. God, I pray that you would surround them with people, Father God, who would be encouragers of the faith, God, who would be witnesses to what Christianity really looks like, Father God. And Father God, that they won't be dissuaded or upset by individuals who are a poor representation of who you are, God, because the truth of the matter is there is no failure in you, God, and there was no failure in Jesus. He was tempted on every hand, and yet he never sinned. And so, God, I pray in the name of Jesus that you will let the power of the Holy Ghost fall upon every person who wants to know you, and, God, that they will go diligently seeking after you. And you said in your word, if they diligently seek you, God, you will answer their prayers, God. You would hear their call. You would hear their pleas, God. And so, God, we pray in the name of Jesus, Father God, that even as soon as tonight, God, that there begins to be an outpouring and an outcry and a hunger and a thirst to know you better than we've ever known you before, Father God. Hallelujah. And that, God, that we would begin to open up our books, cut on our computers, our laptops, our smartphones, and we begin to research and find out who the true and living God really is and his son, Jesus, who shed his precious blood on Calvary as a ransom to redeem us back unto you. So, God, we pray in the name of Jesus against a spirit of division
and
distraction that will try to stop them from knowing who you are, God. We bind it back to a dry, desolate place, God, never to return again, and that you loose a spirit of understanding and wisdom upon them concerning you and your word. In Jesus' name we pray and ask it all. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, folks, this is the end of another broadcast. I'd like to thank the Reverend Joseph C. Murphy, Senior,
God bless you,
of the Caring Church of Memphis. There is Word Wednesday, right, Rev? Word Wednesday every Wednesday at 7 p.m. 7
o'clock.
7 o'clock p.m. Central Standard Time. That's over at on the Caring Church of Memphis Facebook page. We also have God's Word to Man Facebook page. Either of those pages. Both those pages, go over and like and follow those pages, because we do distribute great content, more videos, more broadcasts over on those channels. And Rev, he oftentimes goes live with the church services on Saturdays. So be on the lookout for that. Other than that, we'll be back on tomorrow at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. Brother Nate will be back tomorrow with his broadcast. He's doing a series, I do believe, on Jehovah Witness faith or religion, I should say. And that should be interesting. So if it's something that you want to tune in for tomorrow, 7 p.m. Central Standard Time, he'll be back with that. And we're on 7 days a week, so. If you ever are in the need of inspiration, uplifting, or even just trying to find out some things that you don't, you know, you didn't know before, you can tune into God's Word to Man here on Blog Talk Radio. Again, for Reverend Murphy and Brother Daniel Rogers, we would like to thank you for joining us this evening. May God bless you and may God keep you.
Thank you. God bless you.
Love you, brother.
God bless you, Brother
Daniel.
Amen. I worship and adore you. Just want to tell you, Lord, I love you more than anything. I lift my hands in total act.
door.